Heavenly Father, I just pray that everything that is done and said, Lord, that would be honor and glory to you, Lord. And I pray now in these next minutes as I share the word that you've laid on my heart, that it would not be my words, Lord, but they'd be your words. That it would not be my thoughts, Lord, but they'd be your thoughts that you want to share with us this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. I remember when I was graduating from high school, and I really, really wanted to go into ministry. So I had applied to go to Moody. And I was really excited about going to Moody Bible Institute. It was a hard school to get into, but I was like, this is where I want to go. And I remember my mother said, well, what if you don't get in? And I was like, nah, that's not going to happen. And I remember that she said, well, there's this other thing. My cousin knows of this place. It's like a one-year thing. And no way, if you don't get in, should something happen? And they don't like your application. Or there's not enough room for you to get in. You know, you'll have somewhere else to go. You'll have a backup plan. So I was like, okay, Mom, you're pretty smart. I should listen to you. So I went ahead and went up and visited this place. Before that time, I'd never really been involved in any kind of camping ministries or done any camping. So it was this camp, and they had a one-year Bible program. And so I went and checked it out, and I was like, yeah, it's not Moody, so hopefully this plan can just go away, and that'll be okay. And so I was like, I don't know any people here. It's far away from home. All my friends are in Chicago. My family's in Chicago. Why would I be up the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin? And my mom's like, well, just in case. Well, sure enough, that fateful day came. You check the mail every day for a while, and I got a letter from Moody saying, we're full and there's no room for you, a.k.a. you're rejected. So I thought to myself, oh no, what am I supposed to do now? The plan that I thought God had led me, he's like, we're going to go do youth ministry, we're going to be in ministry full time, that's what I want to do with my life. That's the plan. And suddenly it was like, the ground was falling out beneath my feet, and it was like, why? What? I was so confused. I was so frustrated. And here's the truth that is for all of us, whether you're a father or a grad or a mother or all of us in this room, is that life throws you a curveball. Sometimes things do not go according to plan, at least your plan, right? So I end up at this one-year Bible college at the middle of this camp in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, which is even colder than Chicago. They're like, Chicago, they don't get any snow. And I'm like, oh, they do. They're like, you haven't seen anything yet. So in the middle of this place, I don't know the people here, but I ended up going there because that was the only backup plan that I had. But see, God had a bigger plan for that in my life, and he used that. I'm going to talk a little more about that later. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open up to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Whenever you are a part of Christian circles, and you hear a graduation talk, or you hear people, they write a verse in your graduation card. One of the most common verses in all the Bible that people just love to use is Jeremiah 29:11. Let me read it for you. While you're still turning there, it's Jeremiah 29, kind of in the middle of the Bible. I know it took me a while to find it too. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I don't know about you, but the first time I heard that, I thought, oh, cool. There's some encouraging things in the Old Testament. Who knew that was there? Now, people love this verse. Of course they do, because they're like, well, look, you're moving on with your life, but God's got a plan for you. And then, of course, I got to Moody. And some friends of Moody, they were about to graduate, so they studied it all and they knew it all right. So they got there and they're like, well, you know that that verse is being taken out of context, right? He's talking to the children of Israel. He's talking about them as a nation and that God has a plan for them. And he's not talking about us. So why do we use it at graduations? Well, I've read it over some more, and as the Lord has been preparing this talk for today, I have to admit that sometimes when you study, there's just a lot of studying that goes on. And then sometimes when you study, there's just a lot of tears that happen. It's part of your life that God's leading something that he wants you to talk about. And that's how this message has been prepared. But let me share the context of this. I'm going to start back in verse 4. This is God talking through Jeremiah. This is what the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that too may have sons and daughters and increase in number. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray for the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come for you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Oh, so it is talking about Israel. But as soon as I read that over, I noticed the immediate parallels. You see, the children of Israel have been carried off into exile because of their sins. Interestingly enough, they were aliens and strangers in a new land that they did not know. Now, we know because of what 2 Timothy 3:16 says, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching. So there is something in this passage for us to learn. And the parallels that I see out instantly are enormous. They were strangers and aliens in a world that is not their own. They were scattered in exile. They weren't all together necessarily. There were pockets of them. Is that not sound like the church? Peter says that we are aliens and strangers. Paul admits that we are aliens and strangers in a land that is not our own. This is not our home. And are we not scattered? The Christians, after persecution, also became scattered. And to this very day, no matter where you go, in towns all around the world, you can find pockets of Christians, aliens and strangers in a world that is not their own. The parallels are amazing. Now notice, for the people of children of Israel, God is saying, hey, settle down in the place that I've put you. It would be easy sometimes to say, you know what? This world's not my home. I'm just going to back off here and keep my distance from the world. Don't want anything to do with the world. Just going to hide over here and pray to God. But God's saying, no, settle down. Build houses. Get involved. Pray for the prosperity of the land that you're in. We as Christians need to be involved in our world. Be involved in the people that are in it, not just always seclude ourselves. We need to be a light to the world, to shine for Jesus, to shine for the gospel. See, they weren't going to be there for just a short time. It's not like any day now. See, they were hoping. Any day now, God, you're going to take us back to the promised land and we're going to be all done with this. I'm tired of this place, this Babylon place. It's kind of terrible and awful and I don't like it. They miss Jewish food and Jerusalem and all the good things, all the home things. But God's like, no, it's going to be 70 years. 70 years. How many of you think that's a short amount of time? Raise your hands. Oh, a few of you. I always have a few youth like that. A few youth, they like to raise their hands when they know they're not supposed to. That's okay. It's kind of a long time for us, right? I mean, in 70 years, most of us probably won't be here alive anymore. I'll be a good guess. Some of you will be, and you'll be old, and you'll be like, I told you so. I remember when. But most of us won't be here in 70 years. That's a long time to wait. So God's saying, settle down. I do have a plan for you, though. I do have a plan for you. So the point I want to bring out of today is that sometimes God's good plan for my life is for the good of my character. Sometimes God's plan isn't what I think is good. It's what God thinks is good. Now, God wanted to use this exile to grow them, to grow the children of Israel, to stretch them, maybe even to spread His name to the Babylonians. It was also a punishment for their sins. But God sometimes uses situations in our lives to grow us. When I was at that camp for that year, I didn't have any friends, remember? I didn't know people there. I was there, and I was like, this feels like exile, kind of. Did I do something wrong? And God was like, no, this is why I have you here. And I'm like, why? He's like, you're talking to me now. That's a good start, right? How many of you agree? That would be a good start. You can raise your hands on this. It's not a trick question, folks. Yeah, I was talking to him because there were like 20 of us as students. How many of you are at a university that's 20 people? Yeah, that's pretty small, right? I mean, so this one-year college thing was small, and then they worked us hard. And there were a lot of benefits to what I was doing there. But most importantly is that because I didn't know other people, and because I didn't have friends instantaneously, I didn't really like bond with other people, I spent a lot of time talking with God. Now understand that in high school, I'd gotten really good at studying the Bible, but it was always one of those things I was like, oh, prayer, I don't get prayer. And God, in his infinite wisdom, was like, we got to work on that. Let's take a 1 year off and put you in the middle of nowhere where you have no one to talk to. You can't even see the city lights anymore. It's just like stars. You're like, so dark out here. Where am I? Can't see anything. And so I spend these dark roads just walking. There's no one there. There's no one driving. And you see a car, you're like, car. And, you know, dirt roads, everything. I mean, I was in the middle of nowhere. No cell phone reception. It was before data plans. I mean, they were still getting on the cell phone reception everywhere. You know, I can't even make a call, let alone send a text or check on the internet. Nothing but God. Nothing but time to talk to God. See, sometimes God's good plan for my life means for the good of growing me, of growing my character, of making me a better person. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, God's definition of good doesn't match our definition of good. Because to me, definition of good is like comfortable. This recliner is good because it's comfortable. This computer is amazing because it's cool. This car is amazing. It gets great gas mileage. Yes! Or as I found out this morning, Daryl, this is a great car if it has more room in it, right? Yeah, there you are, Daryl. We always have a definition of good of what we need. I need this. Or this makes me happy, or this makes me comfortable, or this is just what I wanted for my life to be. And to me, being in the middle of nowhere at a camp that I didn't know anyone wasn't good. But to God, it was good. And that was probably one of the best years of my life, and I grew the most. And in fact, God was able to use that situation and bring me back there, even once I was at Moody, every summer to work there. He's like, not only am I going to provide a great place for us to build our relationship even better, I'm going to provide different summer opportunities so that you can grow and become a better person and get new experiences because I have a plan. But you don't see the end. I do. This is God talking. I see the end. You don't. Right? God knows the plan. He knows the end. He doesn't be like, oh, how are we going to get there? He's like, I got a plan. It's going to be great. I got a plan to prosper you. And sometimes that plan not only isn't just for our future. I know some of us, we think it's a plan for the future. One day, God's going to be like, time's up, Bill, time to go. And he's going to bring me up to heaven and I'm going to be like, yeah, plan starts now. Not necessarily, right? I mean, we'd be missing out, right? I mean, because, yeah, God has a plan. He's going to bring us to heaven. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome, better than anything on this earth. But God has a plan for you and I now on this earth to be involved. And sometimes that plan is uncomfortable and it hurts and it's causes us to shed tears or blood or whatever, and that is for our good, the good of our growth, the good of our character. When I think about that, those verses in Philippians that I shared with the teens just a little bit ago, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes God's work is a little messy, am I right? His good work can be a little messy. Sometimes we're like, God, I'd like the, you know, fast food package of good, you know, can we just get it done? Happy meal. Yay! You know, put a smile on my face, God. I would like to be happy. I like that prosperity part. I like the fact that it says not to harm you. To give me a hope in the future. I mean, honestly, no matter what harm you suffer, eventually you will die. And the excellent, amazing, awesome plan of here's heaven, no more tears. No more bloodshed, no more pain and suffering. It's going to come. So when God says he's not going to harm us, he means that. Because eventually we'll be in heaven with him if we have put our trust and faith in him, right? So God's good plans sometimes will cause a little pain on this earth. Sometimes God's good plan for my life is for the good of my character. Now you might think, oh, wait a minute, Pastor Jason, I'm catching with you. But the Israelites there, they were getting punished, right? So sometimes when bad things happen in my life, that is God punishing me, right? See, we've gotten that thought in our minds. And when I first heard that, God's punishing you. Something bad happened to you, God's punishing you. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound quite right. But I can see where it comes from. Think about the Israelites. God's like, follow me, I'll bless you. Don't follow me, bad things will happen. Yikes. Think about Jonah. One of my favorite prophets, Jonah. He's like, I don't want to do what you said. Runs in the other direction. What does God say? I don't think so. storm, whale, and does that sound like good things to you? You're like, no, I don't think so. But I mean, notice he still uses Jonah. He still uses the Israelites. Rather than punishment, I'd rather us use the word discipline. Because when you and I think of the word punishment, I think we often think of it as God being like, boom, take that. That's punishment. Hold your consequences. That'd be like the fatherly thing to say. Father's like, yes, I like this. You know, punishment. You're getting punished, child. But no, really, it's discipline, right? Hebrews talks about this. In Hebrews chapter 13, he talks about God's discipline in our lives. Being for our good again, right? When you discipline your kids, you're not like, take that. Don't do that ever again just because I enjoy punishing you. No, you're like, if your father was like my father, he's like, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. You're like, I don't think so. Where do you get that idea from? But as many of you know now, you're like, he was right. Because we don't enjoy the punishment. It's for the discipline. It's for correction. It's for training in righteousness. But how many of us have gotten really big biceps from sitting on that lazy boy couch? Not too many of us, right? It requires hard work. It requires that word I don't really like, discipline. Discipline for our good. We have to discipline our bodies. I'm going to work out. Oh, it hurts. It hurts good, though. Those muscles worked out so we can be strong. Discipline is hard work, and sometimes God has to discipline us. So what about Job? Here's another example. Because all his friends gather around. You remember all the bad things that happened to Job? Terrible, horrible things. Job was the one who could have written the book, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Am I right? He had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day where a bunch of things went really, 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 really wrong. And he could have sat there and said, this is not good. What is God's good plan for my life? In fact, he had some really good friends. You know they're really good friends because they sat with him to mourn with him for a week without saying one thing. How many of you have a friend? You're like, I think they'd sit for me for the whole week. They'd take off of work and they'd be like, I'll sit with you. I mean, that is a commitment of a friend. So we often give Job's friends a lot of criticism because they're wrong later on. They're like, all right, I sat with you for a week. All right, Job, what'd you do wrong? You really made God angry. You really did. I mean, look at what happened to you. You really made God angry. He is punishing you to the nth degree. All right, out with it, Job. What's the sin? Give me the scoot now. I mean, I sat with you for a week. I'm your good friend. I mean, who else you got? Your wife told you to go die. So tell us now, what did you do to make God so angry? Because we know you must have made God angry. Am I right? But what was God's answer at the end of all that? It wasn't like, you guys are right. Job really, really messed up. He really made some big mistakes in his life. No, he was like, where were you? How do you know what my plan is? Were you there when the earth was created? Tell me what's going to happen then. Tell me. And they're like, I got nothing. And oftentimes in our lives, the pain is real. I don't want to minimize that, folks. And for those of you who are graduating, let me just say this because you might be like, this is nothing for me. Things may be great now, but let's face it, life is hard and difficulties will be coming down the road. The plan that you have for yourselves right now that we're all like, yeah, go get them, may fall apart. Eventually, the good things that you hope for your life may kind of crumble and you might be like, this is not the plan that I had. It may not be for another year, another 5 years, or another 10 years. But eventually, all of us have problems that come up into our life. Troubles that will get us. And the mistake would be to think, if only I could fix this. I could have fixed this. Let's see. I should have. Oh, I know what I did. I didn't go on a missions trip. The Moody was like, this guy didn't even go on a missions trip before he graduated from high school. Who cares about him? If only I'd gone on a missions trip, I could have gotten accepted to Moody. It's easy to blame ourselves and be like, all right, man, if only I had eaten better, I wouldn't be having these problems with a doctor right now. If only I'd taken that other job, I wouldn't have gotten laid off. If only I, and that's a dangerous path to take, ladies and gentlemen, because you don't know what the good plan is that God has for you. Am I right? God doesn't just reveal it to us. If he has for you, you know, tell me about that. I'm curious to hear what that's like. Comes down, you know, hello, Bob. So, I'm going to lay out the plan here. I want you to stick to it because I don't want you to mess up now. There's a lot of twists and turns. No, that would take all the adventure out of it, right? Can you imagine if you sat down and you're like, I'm going to watch this movie. It's going to be a great movie. I'm so excited. And then the director came down and sat down next to you and said, no, there's going to get some scary parts in there, but I want you to just hang with the main characters because, you know, everything's going to be all right for them in the end. They're going to come out victorious. And you'd be like, you just spoiled the whole movie for me. Thanks. I'm going to leave now, all right? I mean, who would like their lives to be that boring? I know that it's painful and problematic at the time, and it can seem frustrating and upsetting, and we get, oh, man, God, why are you doing this? And God's like, great, you're talking to me. That's a great first step. Because God's good plan sometimes includes good for us. It isn't comfortable. It isn't happy. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Am I right? The Lord establishes their steps. So you can make plans in your mind and be like, I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do that. And God's like, you think so? You think so now? That's not going to happen. But notice it says God establishes their steps. God's going to be with you every step of the way. In Hebrews chapter 13 also says, Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what did Jesus say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we got nothing to fear. It's like having the director say, I'll sit you through with you and watch the movie with you, and it'll be okay. I'll be here. If you have questions, I may answer them, I may not. Proverbs 19:21, also we read, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And sometimes we don't know God's purpose in our life. One of my favorite verses is Romans 8:28. You guys know what it says. And we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Now again, remind you, the definition of good here is God's definition of good, which sometimes looks scary. Sometimes it looks bad to us, but it's not, right? Because it's God's good. And sometimes God's good plan for my life is for the growth of my character. Perhaps you're wondering, why didn't I make my connecting flight? I missed that connecting flight. I didn't get the job. Why do things fall apart? It seemed like a small thing. And when we get through the other side of something bad that happens in our lives, it's easy to sit there and analyze it, right? Especially as a Christian. You're like, all right, God, what can I learn from that? It's a connecting flight. Didn't make it. I don't see any story. Let me tell you a story about missing connecting flights, because that's what happened to me. That's why I chose this example first. Because God's good plan sometimes includes other things. So before I got a call from a guy with a deep radio voice, I should do it on the other side, right? Pastor Bruce. So Pastor Bruce calls me. Now, this is before that. I get a call from this other church in the middle of farm town, south of Chicago, little church. They wanted to offer me like a half-time job as a youth pastor. They were really small. I went out there to check it out, to candidate. And I was working in this camp at Colorado at the time, because that was God's good plan for me, and it seemed good, and actually was working out great. And I was like, yes, I see the point of this. But then God gives me, I get an interview, all this stuff. This is before I hear from Pastor Bruce, and God leads somewhere else. So you know the end of the story, but I didn't at the time, so bear with me. So I get on a plane from Colorado Springs, or at least I was going to get on a plane, but I was at an airport where they had 10 terminals, and they were only using 2. And my plane couldn't dock with the terminal because the plane in front of it hadn't left yet. Why don't they use one of the other terminals? I don't know, but they didn't do that. Just to make a small little flight between Colorado Springs and Denver, it'd be like flying from New York to Boston, or maybe even Providence to Boston. It's not very far, but I had friends in Colorado Springs I was going to leave my car with. Made sense at the time. God knew what He was doing. I started kicking myself. So I said, I'm going to miss my flight to Chicago from Denver. And I did, even though they said it was going to be okay. They said there was weather. We landed in Denver. It was sunny. I'm not really sure what they were talking about. I start running through the airport because I've got to make my connecting flight to Chicago because I have an interview with a church because God's called me to be a youth pastor. I'm working at a camp. What big deal? All right. I'm running through this airport. Denver Airport is my airport horror story. Some of you are like, I love Denver. And I'm like, I don't like it anymore. I get to the terminal 2 minutes after the plane is supposed to left. It's not even there anymore. They didn't, like, lock it. They're like, where were you? I'm like, my plane was delayed. They looked it up. They're like, no, it wasn't. I was on it. I ran. You know? So, like, go stand in that really long line over there. So I go and stand in a really long line. Eventually I get up to the counter, they're like, there's nothing else. No other flights to Chicago. There's nothing we can do for you. I said, what about other airlines? They said, there's nothing we can do for you. I said, we'll see about that. So I said, all right, Chicago, not the only place I can fly to. What about Milwaukee? That'd be like, you want to get to Boston, let's fly you into Providence. Little tiny airport, nobody knows about it. They're like, let me look and see what I can do. She looks it up, she's like, well, actually, we can get you on a flight to Las Vegas, which then you'd connect a red-eye flight to Milwaukee. What? Okay, sure, let's sign me up for that. She's like, but let me tell you something. If that plane is delayed right now, and if it gets delayed anymore, you'll miss your connecting flight, and you'll be stuck in Las Vegas. I don't want that to happen. All right, thank you. So I go, I make a friend who also wants to get to Chicago. She decides to do the same thing, and I'm thinking, all right, I got to get there, make calls, do my sit there, eating food. All right, come on, plane, you're going to leave, right? We're going to leave on time. Nope. We get on it. It seems good, but no. And we sit there. Like, well, actually, we're going to wait for another connecting flight. What? You're going to wait for them? The other one didn't wait for me. Let's go. So I'm actually on the plane, and it won't leave. I can no longer say, can I get off the plane now? They're literally like, fasten your seatbelts, because as soon as those people get on, we're literally going to pull off. We're not even going to wait for them to sit down. We're just going to leave. And they can sit down and buckle it up on the runway or something. I'm like, all right, great. I will be stuck in Las Vegas. Okay, God. So now we're getting further away from where I want to go. So I get to Las Vegas. This is before data, because you could have pulled out your data plan and you could have been like, oh, look, the other flight. What? No, I didn't have that. I had a cheap phone. And they didn't even have the data as much anyway. It wasn't as common as it is now. So we get on this plane and get into Las Vegas. I'm thinking, great, I'm going to be stuck in Las Vegas. I have one strange friend that I've just made, and we both want to get to Chicago. I'm not even thinking at this point. God's like, you know, hey, maybe you want to witness to her and tell her about Jesus. You know, that'd be great. See, because God's got good plans for her too, right? And I'm not thinking about that because I'm thinking about me. We all get there, right? We're all in those situations, and we're in a situation, and God maybe has some plan, great big purposes, but we're not thinking about that because we're like, how am I going to get to Chicago? That's where we're all wanting to go, right? No. No, but whatever it is in your life, you're like, I got to get this. Don't forget to take those times, because as I think about this story later, I think, man, I should have witnessed her maybe more. Should have tried harder. You know, I probably was like, eh, went to Moody. Well, that's easy to say. Moody Bible Institute. It's like prepackaged witnessing tool. And then, where are you going? I'm going to candidate to be a youth pastor. Oh, another prepackaged witnessing tool. I've learned that out since then, that God makes it really easy for people like me and Pastor Bruce. We are like prepackaged witnessing tools, because people are always like, so what do you do? Well, let me tell you about that. This is fun. You have no idea what you're in for, do you? So God's good plan for my life has me in Las Vegas. I get on the plane. I'm running past. They even have, like, casinos in the airport. Why? You know, I'm running over to this other airport. Please, I got to get to a plane to get me on Milwaukee. I get there, and the plane's still there. Finally, thank you, God. I was like, yes, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be on a red-eye flight to Milwaukee. What am I going to do when I'm in Milwaukee? My rental car is at Midway Airport. That's in South Chicago. Oh, probably I thought about that earlier when it was still daylight. So I finally get on the airplane. I get over to Milwaukee. We get there early. So it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I haven't slept because I can't sleep on airplanes because I'm a big guy. I get over to the rental car place. I'm close, though. I'm in the Midwest. I'm in the same time zone. I'm like 2 hours away. The rental car place is closed. Like, okay, God, your sense of humor is wearing thin on me. I don't even like it really anymore. I had to wait like an hour and a half for the rental car place to open. Because it's a Saturday morning. Who's flying into Milwaukee that wants to rent a car? Nobody but this guy. But finally it opens up. The first one that opens up, I walk up there. I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to get on those roads before all the other traffic gets on the road to enjoy the nice summer Saturday. And I'm going to get down to Chicago. They're like, do you have a reservation? No. What? You do have cars, right? No, they're all reserved. All of them? On a Saturday? Sorry, you don't have a reservation. All right, so finally, another car place opens. I get in a car. Long story short, I'm on the road. No sleep. I'm like, oh, this is great, God. You want me to get in a car accident and die. I see where this is going. Do not go to Chicago. You know, I think maybe this is the message at this point. But no, God still has a purpose in all this. And wait, I know this story is really long. So I'm driving, and I'm thinking, I'm in Milwaukee. When I hit Chicago, there will be traffic, because I've lived in Chicago, and I know there's always traffic. I'm like, okay, God, you really sound a good sense of humor. I didn't even get out of Milwaukee and there was construction. And I was like, oh, welcome to the Midwest. Orange everywhere. You know, and so, but then I made it through Chicago with no traffic. I'm like, all right, God, you keep giving me little breaks. Like, I still got a plan here. You know, I'm like, great. So I'm thinking about just quitting right now. I'm just pulling on the side of the road and being like, I quit. Oh, you know, because that's easy to do. You get certain situations in your life and you're like, this plan is really not going well. I really think God has a different plan in mind. And they think I should pull over to the side of the road and take a breather and be like, maybe I should tighten off of that exit over there. And that happens in life, right? Where we begin to question this. So I get down there. Long story short, they get me through these paces, even though I'm dead tired. I'm like, I could feel the sickness coming on, you know? You can feel the sickness. My colds always start like in the throat and it's like, I'm like, oh great, now I gotta speak. And then I get to this point, and here's the crux of the story, if I haven't been listening to now. So I'm there, I'm talking to the youth, I share my testimony, and then the next day I'm at church, and then on the way out of church, like then I gotta go catch a flight and get out of here. I was supposed to be here longer. I'm tired, I'm sick, I feel awful. I'm just like, that didn't even go well probably. They run in like and they're like, it is weird. You know, and then someone came up to me, one of the teens, and they said to me, man, your testimony really could relate to that. And last night I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, cool. Maybe God does have a plan after all. Well, later on I found out, yeah, no, they didn't want me. What? I went through all that? God, why did you have me do that? And God was like, because one person needed to hear the gospel, and I can do anything I want, so I wanted to have a little fun with it. Oh, okay, cool. Amen. You can clap for that, for God. Because God wants to share the gospel with one person, and he chooses to use me to do it, even though I'm living in Colorado at the time, flies me out there, but in his greater plan, he's like, no, you're not actually going to be the youth pastor there because I got another place over in Connecticut, and when you get back, you're going to get a phone call from this guy with a deep radio voice who's going to be like, hello, my name is Pastor Bruce. Hello. I'm picturing 6'7", you know, big radio guy. Isn't that always how we picture guys with really deep voices? Like, the radio guy is this tall. Hello. I remember this one time, because when you're at Moody, sometimes you bump into the voices of Moody, and it bumped into the guy who speaks late at night during the music through the night with Mike Kellogg. That's what it was. Deeper voice than Pastor Bruce. I know, hard to believe, right? And he was this little short guy, and he's like, I got in the elevator this one time, and he's like, hello. And I was like, I can't even imitate the voice. That's how great it is. He's like, hello. Luke, I am your father. You know, you're like, what? The radio guy is here. Hi. He gave my friend $5 because they were broke. Isn't that cool? Anyway, that wasn't a part of the message notes. But perhaps you're wondering, well, you know, why didn't I make my connecting flight? Why did I make that mistake? Man, I just blew it. I made a mistake. Sometimes it's, why didn't I get that job? Why did I get sick? Why am I in a financial crisis? Why did I get in a car accident? Why did I get in a car accident again? I don't need this, God. Why are you putting me through this? Why am I having a dizzy spell right now? Oh, what's going on? The world's spinning. Why am I terrible at my job? Why am I terrible at school? Wherever you are, you might be asking yourself lots of questions that begin in why. And it's always easy to ask why because we don't always know the plan. But sometimes God's good plan for my life is for the good of someone else. Sometimes maybe you need to share the gospel with that cop that just pulled you over. You're angry. He pulled you over because you turned into the outside lane. No. Or inside lane, depending on which way you're going. You know, you pulled in the wrong lane and you get pulled over. And the cop is like a power trip. He's like, yeah, I was just waiting for someone to make a mistake. You could share Jesus with them. Maybe that's God's plan for that. Maybe God will fly you from Colorado to Nevada all the way to Chicago just to share the gospel with one person. Sometimes God's good plan for your life and mine is for the good of someone else. Someone else that needs to hear about Jesus. Someone else that needs to experience the love of God. Someone else that needs to be encouraged. Someone else who's feeling discouraged. Why don't I seem to get a break? Why all this paperwork? Why is my job moving me and my family again? Why doesn't my family understand me? Sometimes God's good plan, easy for you to say fast, right? Sometimes God's good plan for my life is for the good of someone else. And again, God's definition of good isn't often our definition of good. Sometimes God needs to speak through you. Sometimes just your presence in their life could be there. You imagine that verse in Romans 8:28, how God is intricately working in the universe, in all of our lives. He directs all of our steps, as it says in Proverbs. And Paul says, and we know that God works all things together for good. So catch with me. Maybe something happens to you. God is using it for your good, and then he uses it for someone else's good, and then he's growing, and then he's leading you, and then you realize something. You know, think about the intricacies that could be happening, and we need to keep our eyes open to see what is God doing. I wonder how many missed opportunities there are because we're not paying attention. One day, we will see. One day, we will see, because God's good plan for my life is always for his glory. Amen? God's good plan in my life is always for his glory. Ultimately, he will be glorified, but anything and everything that happens, because he will have used it. Think about it. If I'd gotten that job there, I might have accepted it. I might have been like, all right, God, you open this door, and they wouldn't be here. But God's ultimately end plan was for me to be here, to minister here in Groton, Connecticut, a place I had never even heard of. It was like New England is, yeah, I don't know where Connecticut is. You know, before, I was in Chicago. I saw a thing on Facebook yesterday. It was like the U.S. map, according to Michigan people. And, it, you know, it's the same for Chicago. We're like Boston and other stuff, you know, up in the northeast corner. We're like, I don't know. But now I know. I got to move to New England. It was like, oh, that's cool, God. And it's so fun because I get so many opportunities to share with people because I'd be getting my hair cut. Of course, Penny likes to say getting your hairs cut because technically you're not just getting one cut. And I understand that. So you're there, you're sitting there, and they're like, oh, where are you from? Because you're like, yeah, well, I'm not from around here. I like to say that because it always opens up a great opportunity. They're like, where are you from? I'm from Chicago originally. Why would you move here? Well, let me tell you about that. God moved me here. Oh, what? What? You know, or I can just say, well, I moved here to be a youth pastor at a church. Oh, they get really quiet, you know. But then you have lots of opportunity to talk. You're like, yeah, Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life too, you know. So like, get out of here. Your hairs are good. Go, you know. You got all kinds of opportunities to share what God is doing in your life. Just think about the crazy things that happen in your life. Well, I was on an airplane. I need to get there. You know, anything that happens, God will reveal to you what it is you need to say, what you can share with it. So I can say with confidence for all of us, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future. Amen. The exciting thing is, it's going to be a crazy journey along the way. There are people, young people, I especially want you to listen to this. There are people in this audience that have crazy, crazy stories about their finances, about their health, about problems that have happened to them that they would have never dreamed of. Find out what those stories are. And for those of you who've had a little bit more life experience, think back on your life. Think about the crazy things that God has done in your life. Because I know some of your stories, and I've heard some pretty crazy things. And I know that because of what the Scripture says, God has a plan, a good plan to use that, because he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Plan to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, a plan to use you, a plan that sometimes is uncomfortable, but it's for the good of your character, or sometimes it's for the good of someone else, and is always good for his glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you that you do have a good plan. Even though your definition of good is not always the same as our definition of good, I thank you. I thank you that you've led me here and that even to this point, you've had a plan. Even though there have been difficulties, even recently, in all of our lives probably, you've had a good, good plan to use those things for our good, for other people's good, and ultimately, Lord, for your glory. So I thank you for that. And I just ask that if you would comfort those who are hurting right now, Lord, perhaps someone in here isn't sure what the plan is leading. They're not sure how they can lead on another day. But Lord, I just pray that you'd comfort them through these stories, that you'd bring other people in their lives that are even here at church today right now. Maybe someone would talk to someone who has never talked to them before and needs to tell them a story about what's happened in their lives, how you've worked, because it's your plans ultimately for your glory. It's not about us, Lord. It's about you. In your name we pray. Amen.